Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We're so encouraged that you have joined us. VFNTV truly is a network that God is building through your love gifts and our sponsors as we go together to find out what is the truth. It's not enough to know the news. We need to know what to do with the news that we know. And it's amazing, you know, what we're finding out on this journey. Did you know that Jesus called us all as Christians to go into all the world and to make disciples of nations? I was speaking recently to Kamal Saleem Kuhn Ministries, and he talked about that as he was used to be part of a Muslim brotherhood, by the way. Now he's a Christian. He found Jesus and he renounced all that part of his life. But he said that they were focused as the Muslim Brotherhood, as Islamic radical jihadists, they were focused on the seven mountains of culture. They literally were focused on seven mountains of discipling nations. They were wanting to take nations in regards to family, education, government, arts and entertainment, media, business, and all these different areas. But in America and the world, it seems like we've totally allowed the world just to kind of tuck us away, or maybe we tucked ourselves away. I mean, for years, a song was singing, right? Take the whole world, but give me Jesus. And it's like Lucifer took us up on the offer. And Jesus has called us to make disciples. I love what this pastor in Britain was just on, this British pastor that was on TBN, and how he spoke about what we're called to do in the church. As a matter of fact, listen up.
People often say to me, they say, Jay John, you know, what do you do? It's always very difficult to know what to say. Because if I say to you that I'm a reverend, which I am, that conjures up certain images in people's minds as to what I might be. So I like to be a little bit creative in telling people what I do. I sat next to this lady on an aeroplane at Heathrow Airport, and I said, hello. And she said, well, hello. And I said, where are you going? And she says, I'm going to Singapore. Then she said to me, where are you going? I said, I'm going to Australia. I said, what do you do? So she told me. Then she said, what do you do? And I said, well, I work for a global enterprise. She said, do you? I said, yes, I do. I said, we've got outlets in nearly every country of the world. She said, have you? I said, yes, we have. I said, we've got hospitals and hospices and homeless shelters. I said, we do marriage work. We've got orphanages. We've got feeding programs, educational programs. I said, we do all sorts of justice and reconciliation things. I said, basically, we look after people from birth to death and we deal in the area of behavioral alteration. She went, wow! And it was so loud, her wow, loads of people turned around and looked at us. She says, what's it called? I said, it's called the church. Really, isn't it? If we are a follower of Jesus, wow, then we are part of a global enterprise. But not only is it global, it's intergalactic, because it includes everyone that's gone before us.
Wow.
This is so important. I love that. It was kind of humorous, but it's true. I mean, when Bill Bright, the founder of Christ for the Nations, he realized, I mean, here he's been working on making disciples for so long, you know, and just realizing what it took, and the Lord revealed to him at one particular point that, you know, there's like seven spheres, if you would, of culture. There's such a significant part that we refer to them, and other people refer to them as mountains. And if you can take these particular spheres, these mountains, whoever's at the top of these mountains or have the greatest influence in those mountains determines which way that nation goes. And if God has called us to disciple nations, we are so much more than just this building. We're so much more than a few songs and, You know, God has created everything. He's created the universe and the earth, and He's created business. He's created the arts, and He created all these things, but what have we been doing with them? I mean, how many people have been just walking, you know, to church gatherings on a Sunday for 45 minutes, and that's the only time they really think about God. That's the only time they think about prayer. That's the only time they think about, and they really do really well in that 45 minutes or 50 minutes or maybe, I don't know, just that. But when they walk away from that, they just try to figure out, God, how, they're trying to figure how to live their life out. How do you be married? How do your family function? How do you parent? How do you do business? I mean, is it okay for me to watch this kind of entertainment versus that kind of entertainment? Or, I mean, all these different things. And it's like, this pastor did a real good job of describing what we call the seven mountains of culture. And right now, we have, in the world right now, is described as Islam has is approximately 80% political and 20% religion, according to Kamal Saleem, a former member of the Muslim Brotherhood and radical jihadist that's now actually a Christian of Qum Ministries. And so their focus is to change, to take over the culture. I mean, of all the things that Jesus heard when he went out to spend time with the Father to adjust how he was going to walk out his ministry. Remember, he spent 40 days of prayer and fasting in the wilderness. Of all the people to show up, Lucifer showed up. Satan showed up and tempted him. And you know what he said to him? He said, listen, I have all these mountains of culture. I have all these kingdoms. If you bow down and worship me, I'll give them to you. And of course he says, you know, get away from me. No, I don't think so. I'm going to worship the Lord, the Father only. But think about this. But yet when he called us, when Jesus called us as his disciples and sent us out, he said, go make disciples of the nations. He called us to go make disciples of the nations. That's what he wants us to do. And if anything that we're, that's this, right, you think about, there's like four basic ordinances in the church when you think about them. But as a believer, not a building, I'm not talking about a building, but one is that we need to be water baptized. You know, we need to follow Jesus in through water baptism. I mean, it doesn't save you, you know, but you're in walking in obedience. Secondly, you know, we need to take communion in remembrance of him. You know, he said he broke bread with the disciples, and he said, this is my body broken for you, and this is the wine, this is the blood of the new covenant. And the next thing he said, make disciples. We're actually supposed to be his disciple. And a disciple, Jesus said, let me tell you who really is a disciple. He's talking to the Jews there. He says, a true disciple of me is one that actually knows my teachings and follows them. So you actually have to know his teachings and follow him. And the last ordinance he says, go make disciples. Make disciples of the nations. I mean, you think about God, you know, we want to do church. How many people just focus like, man, we did church. It was so good. Let's come back next week and let's do church again. But God wants you to go make disciples in your business, in the business mountain of culture, in the arts and entertainment, you know, in media, in education, in the family. I mean, we got to begin to wake up and say, go into all the world and tell them this awesome news. We got to quit giving up mankind, giving up these mountains to the adversary, and we're going to get crowded up in some camp somewhere if we don't wake up until we finally say, dear Lord, I'm going to obey you. I am going to go make disciples of the nation. So you think about it. What does that mean? Well, you know, wherever you're gathering at, whoever is in your church with you, you know, talk about it. Is there anybody teaching you the teachings of Jesus? I mean, you hear about, you know, people are arguing what the Quran says with Islam, and they're arguing about, hey, we want the Ten Commandments up in the courts in these different schools. But if you ask them the question, do you even know what the Ten Commandments are? Most of them won't even know what they are. They're just saying, that's a great idea. A lot of people are arguing against, you know, what the Quran says or what other books say, but they're saying, you know, I'm for God, but you ask him what the Bible says, and they won't even tell you because they don't, you know, according to George Barna, some statistics out there that says 81% of Christians in America don't ever pick up a Bible of all. I mean, everybody's almost got one, but they don't pick it up at all. And the ones that do, only 3% of that 19% actually do what it says. And so it's not, you can look at that as a negative thing, or you can look at it as a positive thing and say, you know what, now I know what I need to do. I need to become a disciple of Jesus Christ. And I need to show up in my workplace. I need to show up at the school system. I need to show up in the government. And I can say, you know what, I am supposed to be light in the midst of all this darkness. I'm supposed to bring hope. And we're going to talk about that, and specifically in regards to being an American Christian, that you think about this. It's a government by the people and for the people, and we need to know how the government works because we are Josiah, like King Josiah in Israel. He was king. He could determine which way that country went, if Israel was going to go with God or away from God. But when he read the Word of God, and he hadn't read the Word of God, it was kept from him by, you know, God's people, the priest of those days. But when he sent somebody to go clean out this temple, guess what they found? They found the scriptures. He had someone read it to them. When they read it to him, he realized, man, we have sinned against God. God is angry with us. And he repented and he changed everything. Even though God was going to bring destruction on Israel, God said, listen, you're the greatest king that's ever lived before you or after you, Josiah. I'm telling you, I'm not going to bring this disaster on you. We're going to talk about that after this break because you are Josiah. It's a government by the people and for the people, which means in America, we're the ones that determine who's going to lead us, which means we got to start making different choices, but we don't need to make that in our own strength. We got to begin to seek the Lord, cry out to the Lord, ask the Lord to forgive us where we may have gone astray, and say, God, I want to be involved in the leadership. You've called me and established me in this nation to be a leader. You know, you have this YOLO, you know, you only live once. Let me tell you something, America. You only lead once. It's time for us to lead under the leadership of Jesus Christ in all seven mountains.
When you think about, you know, Josiah, King Josiah, you know, this is what the Word of God says in the book of Romans, I believe he says, that, you know, it was written to teach us and to encourage us through the encouragement of scriptures. In other words, you can look at someone's life and you can gain a lot. Speaking of that, just so you know out there, I want to tell you right up front, we're very excited about VFN's internship beginning.
Yes.
If you're interested, we have people that are interested in internships. You want to contact, go to VFNTV.com and let them know. But we have internships that are starting. The classes are starting soon. And you can learn from others. And what we're looking for is those who really want to know. We're looking for someone to pour our life into, ones that know that God has called them, but they need to know what the previous generation, what God has said, so that you walk around in a double portion of that. Yes, there's high expectancy for those who choose to be an intern, but guess what? That we plan to really lavish.
That's right.
Those who say, yes, we're going to just pour everything we can because we believe that there's a generation rising up that we want to pass the baton to you. And all you have to do is contact us and let us know. There's so much more we're going to be telling you about that. But you think about Josiah, we can read about King Josiah and we could walk through a biblical internship with him by learning from his life. And everything was just wasted. I mean, it was over. It was so over that Babylon, you could hear them, you could hear their bands from their high school over the corner of the mountain in the nighttime. That's how close destruction was to Israel because they're about to go into Babylonian captivity. But Josiah, he didn't even know it. He had not even a clue that this was going to happen. He didn't have a clue at all. But there's people that were religious who became familiar with God who knew it at one time, but they bought into the fact that it doesn't matter anymore. You know, like this Ron Ball that's talking about the Bible is irrelevant anymore.
Bell, yeah.
Ron Bell, you know, and they just didn't think it was relevant anymore.
Isn't that the slippery slope that always begins with when you become familiar with God and you think you've
it's
got it?
It's a fatal price. Ask Miriam.
You're done.
Yeah, ask
you're
Miriam.
Done.
It's so interesting. And this deceptive thing is, it's real interesting. The more more familiar you become with God, the enemy convinces you you're smarter and more intelligent. So he's like, you're more confident in your ignorance. You know, he's like, it's crazy how it works. This is what John Bevere said in his book, The Fear of the Lord. The longer we're deceived, the thicker the veil gets and the harder it is to convince someone that they're deceived. And deception is what you think you're doing is right when you're dead wrong, which it calls all of us to humble ourselves and cry out to God and say, God, remove any deception in my life. Mm-hmm. And so with King Josiah, he was king, started at a young age as king, chosen by God. Going totally wrong, but you know why he was going wrong? You know why he was lost in his car driving around, if you use the analogy? Because he didn't have a map. God's people, his teachers, that God put down there to be able to tell people the map, the Bible, the scriptures. They didn't let him have it. They didn't bring it out.
Mm-hmm.
God just touched his heart. And this is what God does. I mean, you think about that, how this worked. All of a sudden, this man who didn't understand all these things was honoring God the best way he knew. I said, let's go clean up that storage building down there that those religious people were hanging out at, right?
That's right.
The temple, let's go clean it up. As a matter of fact, I saw how those guys handle finances, so don't even give it to them.
Mm-mm.
Give it to the carpenters and the ones that work hard and have them go down there. Just think about that.
They'll know what to do.
Couldn't even trust them with the money. I mean, that should have been enough to go, listen, we're wrong, God.
Yeah.
I mean, God gives the money to the brick mason and the wood carpenter to be able to fix up the temple because they knew if they would have given it. He knew if I would give it to the if you're hiding the word from God's people, you know what you're doing with the money.
Hmm.
And of all the things, by the way, of all the things that this man who got in a car accident, a pastor who got in a car accident in Africa and he died and he went to hell and he saw the flames of hell and he saw in the fires, he saw ministers in hell screaming this out. Give the money back.
Mm.
I mean, think of all the things that you could be saying. They're screaming at him, give the money back. And he came back into his body and he gave the testimony. And so it matters what you do with what's God's, as Achan. And so Josiah, the king Josiah, just, and he doesn't know yet. He hasn't read the scriptures. So he sends some guys down to be able to take care of the temple, fix it up, you know, put a paint job, trim it up, get it going looking good. Because he didn't have the scriptures to be able to know what it's supposed to even look like. So here comes these people who are not in control of the money, the religious people are no longer in control of it, who are have access now to all this stuff that supposedly they were properly having access to. And the leaders, the religious folks, became very nervous. They became very nervous because they knew that these guys were going to come in and see the truth.
Mm-hmm.
So nervous, they started digging through this back pile in the back, and all of a sudden they pull out the scriptures.
Hmm.
And they walk out. John, they walked out of the temple. I mean, they wouldn't have known it outside of Josiah sending somebody down to clean this place up. And if you would have actually given them the money instead of the carpenters, that place never would have been fixed up and the guy would have had a bigger house or something. Anyway, or a bigger watch.
Yeah,
you got a big watch on. Anyway, so, right. And so.
Pat gave them it.
It matches his big car. Yeah, it's a $25 watch. Anyway, so the. So he's going there, and imagine today, just picture this. So you have these carpenters, I mean, you got these rugged dudes, rough hand looking dudes, they got their belts on and their carpentry belts, their hammers swinging down there, and their nails, and you have the brick masons coming, big strong brick masons coming to your church building, and they're going, we're going to fix this thing up. And you know you've been lying, you know you've been holding back the truth, you have not been having integrity with God's things. And the truth's going to be found out. Well, this is what they did. They ran in the back, dug out the scriptures, and they come outside and they go, look what we found.
Look at here.
We got scriptures. Listen, let me tell you something. It's being hid from America right now.
Mm.
81% have been convinced that God's word's irrelevant. 81% of Christians in America, because they're not even picking it up. You have it, but you're not even picking it up. So we're in those days. And so Josiah finds out, hey, there's a book. And so he has his secretary go and read it to him. And the secretary begins to read the scriptures. And he finds out, he doesn't know this until he reads the word. But once he reads the word, this is when he finds out, John, he finds out that God's angry with us. Now, he didn't know that God was angry. He thought, you know, this is just what happens. You know, war just happens, and radical Islam just tries to come in, and that, you know,
it's just life
the season, economies just come and go, the ebb and flow of economies, and, you know, marriages always change, and, you know, it's always like there's all these explanations. But once the scriptures are read, you find out God's totally in control, and this is what happens when we turn away from God. And he immediately knew from reading the Bible, if you would, the scriptures, he knew that God was angry.
Mm.
You know what's going to happen when you read your Bible? You're going to find out God's pretty upset right now. He loves you, but he's very upset. And there's eternal consequences for the outcome of this thing. Because he was king, in other words, he had total authority, he immediately repented himself publicly. He first said, I've sinned. you know, I've done wrong. And then he came out before the people and he repented before them. But he also told them, because he was king, he could do this. He could say, you better repent. You know what I'm saying? I'm king.
Right.
You better repent. Because he had that authority. He was king. And so then he said, you know what? We're going to knock down some of these, all of these idols and all these false gods and all this radical whoever's. We're going to take it all down and we're going to move it out of this country because we're going to honor God and God. But he could do that because he was king. I mean, if you're not king and you have some, you know, foreign god king over your nation and you start doing that, God may be pleased with you, but you might not last long. Ask Gideon. And so he could do it because he was king. And all of a sudden, you know what God did? God said, listen, Josiah, I have never seen a king before you or after you this is as great as you. What did he do? He read the word. He understood it was God's word. He applied it to his life. He responded to God through repentance. And whatever he had authority over, he took authority over it. Now, he happened to have authority over the whole nation. And God said, you're awesome. And the destruction that he intended for Israel, hello, Israel! Do you really think God, it has America's trumped Israel here or something, that that Israel, America can't be destroyed? Do you really think that when God was going to destroy Israel? But because of Josiah, he said, listen, it ain't going to happen. You know, it's not going to happen in your generation. And this is what he said. He put a pause on it. Why? Because the one in authority said, his name was Josiah, King Josiah. He said, you know, we're going to serve God. We're going to repent. We're going to do what's right. As for me and my house and everything I have authority over, that's how it's going to be. And think again, the king of the universe, God said, I have never seen in all ever a greater king than Josiah. That's powerful. Now you think about this. And you go, well, he was king. He could do that. Well, let me tell you something, Josiah. Let me tell you who's Josiah in America. I'm going to read to you the Constitution. You need to get a pocket Constitution. You need to read it. Get a paper copy of it, too, because you might have the digital version suddenly. The preamble of the Constitution says this. This is the first part of the Constitution. It says, we the people, in other words, we Josiah, right? Mm-hmm. We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, and ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity, do and ordain and establish this Constitution of the United States. So the people in America are Josiah. And we get back, we're going to read from the Declaration of Independence how it begins to explain that the government derives its power from the people. So when you look at America right now, let me explain America, because it's been opposite. They've been trying to change this in everybody's mind, but it's not changed in the heart of God. God knows that you're Josiah. The government is ordained by the people. The people are chosen. The governed, which is the people, choose the government. So you can change government. You don't like that government. You can be just like Josiah. You can say, you know what? We don't want abortion here anymore. You can say, we don't want that anymore. We're going to honor God. We're going to go back to our Judeo-Christian values. You can do that, Josiah. When we come back from the break, we're going to talk more about this. This is going to excite you because you're going to be empowered, and you know that you're going to answer before God. Unlike any other nation, this is not like you have some king over you in America. You are king, and God's going to hold you accountable. Hold us accountable for what we do with this authority. We can learn from those that have gone before us, like King Josiah. That, this is how God responds. When we do this, God does that. When God does this, this is what God wants. He says, you know, when you see plagues and you see famine, and you see these things coming, he says, if you, my people who are called by my name, will repent, in other words, quit doing what we're doing, this evil, return from our wicked ways, humble ourselves and pray, he'll heal from heaven and he'll heal our land. That's what the word of God says. So there is a logical approach to a spiritual God. There is an expectation that God has for our life. And we're learning in Josiah, when Josiah just said, made these things, God says, done. I am not going to destroy Israel. And guess what? He said, I'm not going to destroy He can say, I'm not going to do this thing to America. I'm going to prevent it.
That's right.
But you got to understand, you're Josiah. You're Josiah. And so when I read from the Declaration of Independence right here, and you need to get you a copy of this. And if you want a copy, just contact us at VFNTV and we'll get it for you. I think it's 1-844-40-VFNTV. You just call toll free there. But it says, we hold these truths. You know, we celebrate, you know, 4th of July and all these fireworks. Mm-hmm. This is what they were signing on the 4th of July.
Not hot dogs and hamburgers,
no,
right? This is why we're celebrating the 4th of July.
No, but I do like that one hot dog from Sam's, whatever it's called.
Hebrew National?
Yeah. I guess, I don't know what it's called, but it's good. Back to the independence here. He says, we hold these truths to be self-evident. These are self-evident. In other words, you don't have to tell nobody. They just know
these
this.
These are obvious, right?
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are empowered by their capital C creator.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we get this from. That's why we're one nation under God. With certain inalienable rights, among these rights, and it's not all of them, but among these rights are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Not guaranteed happiness. What you'll find out what the devil tries to offer you is happiness, mm-hmm. which never ends up that way. That to secure these rights, so this is the whole purpose, to secure these rights. The rights what? So we can actually follow our creator. Mm-hmm. To secure these rights, governments, which is Washington, D.C., by the way, those that happen in Washington, governments are instituted amongst men deriving their powers from Josiah, deriving their powers from the consent of the governed. So, listen, I know what they're saying. I know everybody's acting like they're your boss and stuff. But truly, you're the boss in America. I mean, I'm not talking about the boss of your company, but you share responsibility for the leadership. We're like a whole bunch of kings that have got to work together in the majority. When the majority of the kings decide which way this country goes, that's the way it goes. Now, Josiah was one. He was wrong, then he was right. What made him right? When he found out what God said. Well, first of all, if 81% of us have Bibles, the regular church attenders that attend church at least once every 2 weeks don't even pick up our Bible at all. If we start talking, we're going to be wrong anyway because we don't even know what it says.
That's right.
But we get into the Word and find us, you know what? I'm going to begin to do what God says,
mm-hmm.
and begin to educate ourselves, pray. I mean, with loud cries and petitions, cry out to God. God, who should be on our school board? Who should be the governor of our state? Who should be our county commissioner? Who should be our sheriff? It matters who's got the biggest gun in your community. Who should be the chief of police? Who should be in the city council? Who should be in Congress and Senate? Who should be the president? Ask God. I mean, I remember crying out at one time where we're just like, dear God, you know, who do you want? Because you should vote in the fear of the Lord, understanding that you are Josiah. And if you vote for Satan, guess what? You're going to have to answer to God for voting for Satan, not people. I'm talking about when you vote for darkness, when you vote for, like, hey, I want to go the opposite way of God. And if you're not in the Word of God, you don't know which way you're voting. Pretty much if you're not in the Word of God, unknowingly, quite often, you're probably voting for darkness.
Mm.
Now, I'm not talking about people, Satan. I'm talking about voting for his way of doing things, Satan's way of doing things. But since you're Josiah, God's going to either say of you, you know, there's never been an American like you ever before or ever after.
Mm.
There's never been a generation of Josiahs like you ever before or after. Or he's going to say, there's never been one more wicked. Who gave up all these things that I gave you. You gave it up for darkness. But right now, as we speak, I can't help but just feel in my spirit, and those around me know, that we're so close to the consequences of our behaviors. And think about this. If these huge consequences are coming, all those people that say what they're doing is right, they're not right. Because if they were right, this wouldn't be happening.
Mm-hmm.
Insanity is this, continuing to do the same thing over and over again and expecting different results. It's staying in the religion mountain, the church mountain, and screaming at the other six instead of going into those mountains and beginning to be a disciple and make disciples in those mountains. And we're at this precipice right now. We're at this point, and it's like, you know how you go and you're riding in a car and you go over a hump or you're in a roller coaster or something and it just kind of makes your stomach goes up?
Yeah.
for women out there, when you have morning sickness and it feels like your stomach goes up. That's what I feel like right now in my spirit. It's like, you know, Israel's saying that they think they love America, Americans, but our leadership is lost, has gone mad. That's what Glick said with the
Jerusalem
Post.
Glick.
I mean, they shot Iran, who has missiles already to be able to hit Israel and hit Great Britain. They're not, these missiles, they're wanting to get the nuclear powers to be able to hit America, she said. Mm-hmm. And we did all this buddying up to Iran, our leaders have. And what did they do? According to Glick with Jerusalem Post, they put a mock ship in the water looking like an American aircraft carrier, and they shot it. I mean, do we need any more symbolism? The Russian Navy was behind the DNC when they were talking about it. And we're so detached from the reality of what it takes and why we have a Navy. You know why we have a Navy? We have a Navy because of radical Islam. Thomas Jefferson, our third president, was trying to keep Americans out of being taken as slaves by Islam. The Ottoman states in the northern part of Africa, which we now call Libya and Egypt and all these different areas, they were taking our merchants that were going back and forth bringing substance to America. And according to the Quran, you can enslave them. You can take all their belongings. You can put the sword at their neck, mm-hmm. you know, of the they call infidel, which somebody's not a believer in Muhammad,
mm-hmm.
and pay a tax. And so he was our third president was going over to be able to free Americans from slavery. That's what was going on. They were being taken by slaves for Islam. This thing's been going on for a long time. But the question is right now, Josiah, what are you going to do? What are we going to do with this country? What are we going to do in this particular state? Are we going to blame the people who we sent to Washington, D.C.? Are we going to convince ourselves because we're too lazy to pick up the little small Constitution and read it? This little book right here, when you hear words like, according to Article 2, according to Article 1, according to Article 6, I mean, you're talking about the Supreme Court when you say those words. You're talking about the president when you say those words. You're talking about Congress. That's where they're getting it from. All of that in Washington, D.C. is derived from this Constitution. The reason why the police officer doesn't pull you over, it's not because he or she's just feeling good. The Constitution prohibits them from stopping you without probable cause. The reason why they don't come into your house and take all your belongings and search your things without having a search warrant for it, because it's written in the Sixth Amendment, I believe, Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. This little book. And who knows this thing? Who has this thing? In this book right here, the Bible, what it says is, it's the living, breathing Word of God, able to correct and to rebuke and to train up you as a human being created in the image and the likeness of God. It's living, it's breathing, it's sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of thought and intent. I'm telling you, spending time abiding with God, Josiah, if you just take time to spend time with God before you start ruling your nation right now, America, Americans, Josiah, God will begin to rule through you. He'll begin to tell you. He'll lead you. He'll show you. It was amazing because we begin to seek the Lord and find out, you know, who do we need to support for this or that or to vote for. You know, God brought me into the presence of the very one. I mean, how are you going to get in the presence of people running for office when they're running for, you know, nationally or running over your state? Mm-hmm. If you ask for God, God will do it. God put me together. Nobody showed up at his thing. You know, it was just a handful of us that were there. I was just showing up to be able to meet this man. I got a chance to meet him. You know what? I talked to him. You know what I said? I said, who is Jesus to you? You want to find out about a person? Ask this question. Don't ask them if they're Christians because everybody says they are. Ask them, who is Jesus to them, and just listen. Don't correct them because they're wanting to lead right now. So just listen to who they say he is. Jesus said this. He said, who do they say I am? That's a real good telling sign of who they are. And I found out, not with that case, but I found out with other cases, that the most clear people who were clear about this were actually people who acknowledged that they were an atheist. They actually were very clear on the fact, well, this is my experience. My parents served several different, you know, religions, and I'm kind of confused over this, but I want to be able to lead this, you know, commissioner seat or the city seat or something, but I'll be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody else who professed to be a Christian said, you know, I believe he's in all of us and that, you know, we're just all one. And you think, dude, the atheist was clearer than you. And somebody was like, he's a teacher. I was like, how about the Son of God? And one candidate, I remember one candidate said, he's my Lord and my Savior. Mm. And that's what happened when I met this particular potential person asking for leadership. He said, he's my Lord and my Savior. This is when I gave my life to him. And this is what I've done since then. Mm. And it was very specific about it, unashamedly about it. And it's amazing what this person has done. But listen, Josiah, let me tell you what's next. The sons of Josiah is next. And who's going to name them? One of them's in already. And his name is Jehoiakim. And that means God set man. You know, we're learning from those that have gone before us. But King Josiah, I mean, you think about it. If you find out what your boss likes, do it. Forget about what people say. If you find out what God likes, do it. God loved Josiah and loved what he did. What did he do? He read the word of God. He applied it to his life. And then whatever sphere of authority he had, took authority in that. And so you got to find out, what does God say? You got to apply it to your life. You got to walk it out. But then you got to find out, what authority do you have? We're finding out from reading from the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, you are Josiah. I mean, think about it. Meditate just for a moment. Say, I am Josiah. God's going to hold me accountable for this nation. I hired 530 people and sent them to D.C. They're doing a really bad job. They need to be, some of them need to be replaced.
No doubt.
But you can do that because you're king. But then we find out, according to wall builders, you know, David Barton, something like 35% of Christians, if not bigger than that, they don't even vote. They don't even vote at all. You're like king. 35% of Josiahs in America don't even go out there and say, this is the way we're going to go as a nation. Hmm. And they're actually thinking, they're convinced from the people that you hired to go to D.C., they're convinced that, hey, our employees told us that we're not going to have to pay taxes. It's like, yes, you will.
Why they complain about those that are in office.
So what happens is, so God pauses, puts it on pause because he was going to bring destruction. He says it'll come later on. And his son, immediately somebody tries to take over. It doesn't work. It goes for about 90 days. Well, that was something. What was that? That was his first son. And the next son comes in, and he makes a covenant with Egypt. He goes to Cairo University and gets, cuts a deal with Egypt. And they change his name from what Josiah called him. And the second people start calling you something other than what God called you, you need to back up. And they say, we're going to call you Jehoiakim, and we're going to let you be pastor of this church. We're going to let you be president. We're going to let you be a senator. We're going to let you be a congressman. We're going to let you be the king of Egypt, of Israel. They're going to call him Jehoiakim. Guess what? That was all orchestrated by God. You know what his name means? You know what Jehoiakim means? God's set man. You're going to hear a lady by the name of Gloria in just a moment, a prophetic lady, saying the very same thing. You know, God has set this man in place. And it's crazy how people's like, you know, even a farmer can tell it's raining. And it's like, we have to wake up as a church. Can't you see we're in rebellion? This is what's going to happen if we don't repent. It's not like, you know, the worst thing that could, if God blesses us in the midst of our rebellion, if he lets us take up and eat from the tree of life in a fallen state, we're in hell forever. He loves us enough to bring discipline and take away a nation. If it has to mean our soul, there's so many people in America that call themselves Christians that are more worried about saving America than saving a soul. And it's like, really, nations come and nations go, but the man next door to you needs to know the Lord. Maybe you do. And so what happens when Jehoiakim gets into place? God's set man. He cranks up the taxes so high that everybody's in a great oppression. We haven't even begun to see the bill coming in for what's happened during Jehoiakim's reign. Don't blame Jehoiakim. Blame the people who refuse to deal with their own sin. Isn't that terrible? It's like, can you imagine, like, you know, God, why is this happening? It's like, because you didn't listen. And so Israel still could have repented, though, under Jehoiakim, under high taxation. And, you know, the difference between freedom and slavery is how much you're taxed. Slavery is 100% tax. In other words, you work all day, and everything that you had coming to you goes to your master. and they say, here's some bread, here's some water, you know, here, you know, that's what they do. That's 100% tax. So when you're talking about percentages of taxes, you're basically saying, how much of me do I want to be in slavery to something that I want to give up? And so when somebody says, Wendy, as a matter of fact, I even heard some statements historically in the last few years was, you know, maybe it's going to be 100% tax. That's, I mean, that's the word, that's key phrase for that's what slavery looks like. Well, Jehoiakim, God wanted people to be under oppression. He wanted them to feel the pain. He wants us to feel the pain of our decision. Isn't it better to feel the pain in this short life called a vapor than to be in the pain of hell and eternity forever where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth? Somebody convinced you that, oh, I'm just going to just fall asleep and it's going to be over. No, we are spirits that have bodies that possess a soul. So you think about this. They didn't repent. Guess what happened? He got removed by the people that put him in power, Egypt, Jehoiakim did. And they put his uncle in, I believe, and his name was Zedekiah. They named him. And guess what Zedekiah means? Guess what's coming next if we don't repent under this present leadership? It means God is just. God is just. And he'll begin to put things back in order no matter what happens. And listen, I just say, dear God, forgive us for our sins. As a matter of fact, listen to this prophetic prophet named Gloria as she's being interviewed by Sid Roth. Glenda, she's been interviewed by Sid Roth and what's about to come. Talking about 2016. Listen up.
I am in awe over the gift God has entrusted to you, a prophecy. Tell me a few prophecies that you've had in the past that have come to pass.
Okay, I was in a church and on a Sunday evening, God stopped me. Prophecy came on me and I prophesied that Reagan was going to be shot that week, but he would not die. And so I had everybody stand up and pray for him. And before the week was out, he was shot. And I got revivals out of that.
Now, what about Berlin?
Berlin Wall, I prophesied that it was coming down. I prophesied the Gulf War and that it would end soon. And I prophesied the Iraq War and that it would be called those names. Exactly, they were called that. And God said, this war is not going to end easy because America, her pride, she took glory for the Gulf War, and he said that God said they gave me no glory. They did not look unto me. So it's not going to be over till I say it's over, and many's going to be killed.
And before the election with President Obama, what did God tell you?
That Obama in 07, he showed me, I didn't even know who he was, and he told me Obama was going to be our president. And then when the next election, I prophesied he was going to win again. And, of course, you know, many didn't believe it. And they, the major prophets prophesied the other man, Mitt Romney. And but God told me, I don't care what anybody says, it's going to be Obama. And, of course, we know Obama's in the White House.
What has God shown you that will happen in the future?
He showed me that if Christians don't start praying more than they ever have, even the churches become the house of prayer, this next election,
presidential election,
is not going to take place, that it's going to be suspended because evil's going to arise and some disasters are going to happen and some things are going to be put in place and the president's not going to be removed. He's going to stay in and these things are going to happen and they're going to be very bad if we don't get a hold of God.
What other things is he showing you?
He's showing me that the church has got to get back to prayer. Prayer is the power he gave the church. And we got to get the faith of God. Paul said, do we have God faith or are we taught man's wisdom faith? That's what he said in Corinthians. And he said, I come and I showed you in the demonstration of the power of God, my faith by it's God's faith. We got to get back that faith. Oh,
are we supposed to be hearing God at this point? How important is it for us to hear God?
We got to hear God, or we're going to be deceived. God is talking. In Revelation, he's talked 7 times. For he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the
He's saying to the churches, listen, this everything they were telling you, this is what he's saying. You need to go back and catch up. You need to do your homework. You need to be like Josiah and begin to read. You are Josiah. You need to be like Josiah and go back and do your homework. Go to VFNTV.com, begin to listen to and read and hear these prophecies and hear what God's saying. You begin to abide with the Lord. I want to pray with you. Just pray right now, just like she's saying, that as Josiah, you can ask God to say, God, Lord, save this nation. Forgive us for our sins. Dear God, we come to you right now just like authority in Josiah, and we say, Lord, forgive us for the state of our nation, how we've let things come to this point, God. Forgive us for those that didn't vote, God, that you would forgive them, God, and that you would begin to put a burden on us to begin to say, you know what, we do what's right before you, Father God, like Josiah. Lord, forgive us for not doing what we needed to do, and for not being educated in the electorate and not paying attention and blaming 530 folks in Washington, D.C. who actually got there because we, the governed, sent them there, Father God. Forgive us for not reading our Constitution and for not reading our Bibles, God, and we will get in there, God. Forgive us, Lord. We ask you now, Lord Jesus, that you truly will be the Lord over America. We ask you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.